choose if the kid, you know, is working in a stock room or something and drops something and injures themselves or whatever. And so, unfortunately, and the other part of it, most of you probably know, but maybe you don't, you cannot make anyone, adult or child, do community service if they're not willing to. But the law does not permit a municipal judge to make someone.
Then they would get more of a fine or something else.
Right, right. You give them a higher fine if they're not.
It's an option to
right.
help them.
Right. Cannot make it. And I guess you can see the logic behind that. What good is it if you make a kid do it? The kid says, well, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go to, you know, pick and save, but I'm going to sit there and they can't make me do it. Well, they're going to pick and save, so they're going to issue that either. So.
When I was looking at the some of the other fines that are set. So to me, you have battery, $533.50, carry a concealed weapon, discharging a firearm, all at the same thing as the possession. Is the possession just if it's someone else is left in the car? Because to me, these battery, they seem more dangerous than...
Well, you've got a point, but I will tell you that we have 25... possession of THC tickets for every one.
For one for what battery?
25 to one for against battery.
Well, parking dog, that seems a little cold.
I will tell you that
I think
parking dog is a very controversial
yeah.
because to one person, you know, it's part of owning a dog, they're going to bark, and to somebody else, it's a complete nuisance that they, it's ruined their lives. So I will tell you, those are tricky ones.
I guess because you don't see very many of these, does it make it any better or worse that they're doing it? I mean, having someone beat someone up with battery compared to someone having a possession.
If it's a serious enough battery, it's criminal. The ones that we're getting are ones most often between husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend or boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever. Or it's a shoving match or something. Doesn't quite rise to the level of someone sustaining serious injuries, but on the other hand, it is.
Same thing with discharging a firearm?
I would say I don't think I've ever had a case like that. We have had CCWs, no question, although more often knives than guns. But I don't think I've ever had a discharge.
Well,
when
they
go
from there,
your federal was.
Was that written for him?
So is this a revenue maker issue more so than because you're not deterring? You just said you're not deterring from doing it, but you're just getting more of these.
I don't think it's a revenue issue, at least to me. And as I say now, remember I represent the co-equal branch of government to the legislative branch, which you got to represent. So although I'm willing to take your thoughts on it, I reserve the right to make a final decision. I do think possession of THC, to me, is one that's sort of a policy question. And as I say, even our governor has a different point of view about it. So I think that's one where you guys represent the policymakers. And so I'm willing to hear your thoughts on it. I wouldn't think that you have too many thoughts about retail theft or supplying alcohol to a minor. I mean, most to me, I don't see you putting it out there right.
I do have some thoughts about the battery concealed weapon. I would think that those would be higher.
I suppose to some extent, too, I'm contradicting myself there a little bit. If you have input on the use of tobacco products, I think you need to hear that because that, too, is sort of a policy question, I guess.
Fred, you get possession of THC, but how about possession of THC within a vape device? Is that just possession? But okay, and it'll fall under the 25 grams, even though it's not measurable.
That's the problem. If it's in a vaping device, there's no way to measure it. I've had some people tell me, and I don't know if it's true, that the amount of nicotine in a vaping device exceeds the amount of nicotine in a cigarette. me to that. I don't know for certain.
I'm not talking nicotine. I'm talking THC.
Yeah. Okay, even THC. Yeah.
Because these vape pens, DAP pens, whatever you want to call them.
But then that comes under the possession of drug paraphernalia, because now it's now going to be paraphernalia,
okay,
not used for tobacco products. So then it's two offenses, THC and the paraphernalia.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Okay. Which leads me to a recommendation. My recommendation is we refer back to the judge for his recommendation on cruelty to animals.
And charge the dog.
No,
I mean, seriously, I mean, we get those calls, and they are. I mean, I know it's a tough one, but sometimes they're just people that sometimes there's a homeowner, dog, pet owner that just do not care. And $125 is nothing.
And if you look at the chart here, we are on the low end.
I would have to take a look at that.
Okay, so let me give my recommendation.
Sure.
You guys can enter the trap. Okay.
Yes.
So, barking dog, cruel animal, loud unnecessary noise, obstructing resisting, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of THC, and underage drug. You want better? Just come here. I apologize. Yours is battery or battery of this piece of us or both?
I'm willing to do both, but I don't remember ever having a case battery with this piece
of us. Right. But
that's usually the charge.
And I would just like to add the county park violation one. I'm looking at chapter 47.
Anybody else? Yeah. Brad,
false alarm spread. Isn't that a
graduated scale?
Graduated scale.
Right now, that's one maybe you guys should think about too. And I think if it's more than three within a 12-month period, one of them is charged. So in other words, the place gets three. Homeowner, that's usually not a homeowner, it's usually a store. The store gets three false alarm calls. There's a two. I should know off the top of my head, they don't. But it's either the third one within 12 months or the fourth one within 12 months are charged. But the first two are not. And I will tell you that there was one store, I won't mention the name, that had on their intercom system hit 9 and then hit the department. Well, one of their departments was Department 11. So they were hitting 911 all the time. And first responders were out there all the time.
So my recommendation for a motion is to refer this to the judge for his recommendation back to the county council, not inclusive of parking dog, battery to a police officer. County park violation, cruelty to animal, loud unnecessary noise, threatening to consider misuse of animal home, obstructing, resisting, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of THC, and underage use of tobacco. And this is not exclusive to judgment. Alderman Mark?
One of the things I always get to me a lot of calls are federal permit violations.
Usually, once an officer contacts them, the peddler does go to get them. That's right. And that's an important one, Barbara, because years ago, in your district, as a matter of fact, we had a young boy who was murdered by a door-to-door peddler. He didn't have the permit. I think the city clerk will remember that. It was your district, I'm sorry. And we changed them. Mayor Wilson was on the council at that time, to change the ordinance to number one, require permits, and number two, require door-to-door peddlers to have a badge including their photograph on the badge so that they can be identified.
One thing I would add is I would also celebrate possession of alcohol too. I mean, we get a lot of that of new people getting a job at Pick and Save or Quick Trip or
I should mention something about that too, and this is something that you guys want to take a look at. As you know, we do compliance checks where we have someone who is over 18 but under 21 go into various retail establishments to see if they can purchase alcohol, and they use their real ID, which shows that they are under 21, had the one that was done in, was it April?
They came from our...
5 out of 12 retail establishments were in violation. And right now, the only tickets are issued to the person who actually made the sale. The tickets are not issued to the owner, store manager, or the store...
We called it in.
Well, you did.
We called the owners in. We did.
I'm glad you didn't, because that's... And the problem with that is that, you know, it's hard to say... Could be that a manager has told the employees many, many times, you know, watch the ID and here's the dates and look at it very carefully, and the employee still sells. And it's hard to blame the manager if that happens, but on the other hand, it's also possible to say that are the managers doing as good a job as they should in training the people.
Excuse me, the quantity of violations is way off the charts, but that's usually very
important. And we had one, we had ruined names, but we had one owner in like 15 years that said, this is the first time I've ever had to come here. It was, and they fired the employee, and they felt bad that they had to do it, but they were took it very serious. And I think every one of them had, I think, pretty much satisfied what their next steps were in that. But it was weird because we haven't had that for quite a while, and it just was, you know, we do take it seriously. So.
Make you aware that someone came peddling to a friend's door, and I happened to be there, and the name of the organization sounded like a legitimate organization, but I did some research on it. I even called the police department, who said, oh yeah, they've been here, they get their permit, but you could not find any organization on the Department of Financial Institutions, and it was close to one that had that name, but it was not, from my opinion, it was not a valid 501c3 organization, and apparently no one's really checking on that. They come in for a permit, they get a permit. But okay, who verifies that they're actually a valid organization collecting money, and where is that money going? And I think that that whole process needs to be really looked at.
Just one last thing I really want to keep going. About 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, at the 4th of July celebration, the city no longer has pitchers of beer available, and one of the reasons for that was we found some instances where people would leave a pitcher on a picnic table there, and then later someone would come up to the counter to get the pitcher refilled, and because they already had a pitcher, the assumption was, well, they must be of age, otherwise they wouldn't have a pitcher with them. So they would often get those pitchers refilled. The city does not have pitchers available 2 or 3 years ago.
And that was not done because of that reason. It was done for financial reasons. There was a lot of waste with the tap and stuff
true.
Like that. So it was not done out of that reason, even though I'm sure that occurred. But no, I mean we that was done for other reasons. But you know that did obviously just like people.
Thank you, everybody. Have a happy
thanks,
Fourth.
Thanks, Fred.
Oh, thanks, you too, Fred. Oh,
was there a motion for this?
Second.
Aye.
Any opposed? That was interesting. Thank you, everybody.
Yep, thanks,
Brett.
Just
like when I was
wrong,
always unanimous about
everything.
Right, right.
Sure it was. I'm good for it. G5 is an action plan. Page 71 is action plan for the road repairs in Rawson Homes. Mr. City Engineer.
We've had a lot of discussion about Rawson Homes.
By the way, for the record, the sound contract was last month, last Wednesday, and should be moving forward.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We've had a lot of discussion about Rawson Homes, specifically.
specifically the MMSD portion of the project. This, in all fairness, is really associated with the water portion of the project. The water main was relayed basically down the middle of the street. When it was opened up, basically the road just completely fell apart. Using our standard rules of thumb as for what things cost, preliminary estimates were at least $800,000, $1 million worth of work to repair that neighborhood. So knowing that we didn't have that much on hand and it would basically blow next year's paving project, basically in one neighborhood, I challenged our superintendent to try to be creative on how we could come up with something that was affordable. This is our proposal. So in this situation is we would actually do a lot of underdigging with our staff. We have a lot of millings that we store down at DPW. We would actually use that to build back the base. We'd basically come back within 2 inches of what it should be. We would allow the trenches to continue settling over the wintertime, come back next spring, do a little bit of work to fix those areas that we expect to settle, and then we would basically add 2 inches of asphalt and do the driveways at that time. So if we do that, I need roughly $100,000 this year to make this work. And then next year, instead of asking for everything this one neighborhood, we're looking at roughly $180,000 to make this happen. So because the amount is too much to ask for, and that includes $150,000 savings that we originally had in our budget for to patch the existing road with the water main project. 36. Yeah. So basically the water line went down the street. We weren't tearing up the whole street. We were going to saw cut it and just put a patch over the trench. But when the entire road fell apart, it was kind of pointless to try to put patching over that one section. So having said that, we need to bid that out this year because the amount of increase is too much to just tack on to our road program this year. But I wanted to get your buy-in. This is indeed a method that you're okay with, and if so, we would advertise and try to return when we can, and this would be the process to continue.
So what would be the condition of the roads over the winter?
It would look like asphalt surface. It's just it would be 2 inches lower than what would normally be. The driveways, I think there's two concrete driveways, but all the driveways would have millings for people to drive on. And we would come back. When I say millings, it's chipped up asphalt. When it's rolled, it looks almost like asphalt, as a matter of fact. But we would put some gravel on top of it because the millings we have aren't screened, so you will have to find some larger chunks, and we will have to put some gravel just to kind of make it look that. But they will be secure. We'll be able to plow it. It should be a fairly smooth surface, a lot better than what you have right now.
So the city engineer has given you an idea for the plan. I'll make a couple of minor corrections relative to the financial implications here. The $150,000 with savings that's mentioned there would be a savings in the water utility, because the water utility would have been the one who would have paid for the repairs to the road for the water mains that were done. So in reality, what we would do is we would transfer out of the water utility the $150,000 over to the road program, then authorize a $250,000 expenditure out of the road improvement program in the current year. That would take a budget amendment. So if you decide that you want to move with this plan, I would ask you to include in the motion direction of the Director of Finance to include a budget amendment in the current year to do those two items that I just mentioned. There is a sufficient fund balance in the road improvement program to cover this $250,000 expenditure with the $150,000 transfer in from the water utility.
Mr. Alderman.
So that $300,000 would cover the project?
Well, in the current year, as it's laid out by the city engineer, we'd be spending $250,000. $150,000 of that would be funded by the water utility, and the other $100,000 would be coming out of the fund balance in the road improvement program. And then in 2020, next year, we would be adding an additional $180,000 to the road program for this particular project. And then it would be your decision as to whether you wanted to increase the road program by this 180 or some combination of this as an addition or a partial addition or a complete
less,
subtraction.
Less other streets.
Right.
Could make the motion direct staff further refine the action plans as the contractors as needed to address the road repairs in the Roscommon's neighborhood area and to include a budget from the mayor.
Second.
Discussion.
Well, I would just add that you know, even though the budgets may come to us in a short period of time, that we don't cut future road projects in all of our subdivisions or everywhere we are, because we will fall further behind, and we already are falling behind. We're not spending or what we should every year, so that's just something to take into consideration.
I just want to let Alderman Taylor know with this comment that I did get an email that part of Tumble Creek, which is in my district, is not going to be completed, so it's already happening.
Right, well, yeah, there's some of those chapters.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. G6 on page 73 is an ordinance in amendment 210, giving Mr. Bird another year.
Oh. Okay.
Discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Series G7 on page 77 as reinstitute the funding positions at DPW, and the city engineer has another piece of information.
Yeah, one of our longtime employees we expect to retire next year actually turned in his retirement notice today. So that 8.95 that you see there as far as the median tenure of our snowplows this year is actually going to drop to about 3.5 this year. So basically, what I tried, if you read through this, when I started 5 years ago, the median average, so that's the guy in the middle, was about 18 years down there that we had plowing the streets. So knowing that, you know, roughly it takes 3 years for an employee to feel comfortable plowing, and what they say, 10 years before they really feel good at it.
Waiting for that.
It will happen. So when you forecast that to next year, what I'm trying to show here is that because of retirements, we're basically, the median's going to drop to about 3.5 next year. So that means half the guys down there aren't even really feeling comfortable driving a snowplow. It's just a lot different. So a few years ago, we took our foreman position and eliminated it in lieu of trying to get another, just a light equipment operator. What I'm proposing to do now is that, and it's not just snow plowing, but everything that we do down there, guys are good workers, they just aren't really familiar with what to do. So what we'd like to have is a working foreman with the crews to basically show them and train them, if you will. So I'm proposing this year that we do one, and possibly next year I'll maybe be back to talk about a second one. But I think it's vital to how we do things at DPW. And I went through the personnel committee, and they may have some comments from the aldermen that are on that committee, but I thought it was a good idea.
Move to approve.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
I have thousands of mistakes. I'm a whole freaking
Okay. G8 on page 83, a report on arbitrage for the 2014 meet. That's to
bring that
second.
File.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor, signify by
saying
aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G9, which is the 2019.
approve option A.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. G12 and 171, telecommunications technology carrier service. Motion authorized not to accept proposal before the end of the year.
I'll move it.
Second. Sorry, I'll write in here your first statement there. You won't be here, is that right?
I'll be
here
on the 16th. And we can't fluctuate any of the other meetings because Claire has some different schedule that we're just August. So July 16th, there'll be an emergency.
No, I just said that. I figure we're going to have a developer's agreement. Is that,
if there's no change, it's fine. It's fine.
No, I'm saying it doesn't merit. I'm just saying, I just know that there's an urgency to get it done because every day it costs money. And the sooner we increment it in the ground, the better. But will 1 week matter? And maybe 1 week is enough time that they get an extra week so we don't have a delay until August. Paul, I mean, you've been a part. Are you part of the negotiations at all? I mean, do you know if that's going to, if another week is, like, we need increment. So we need to get this deal done.
We would expect an agreement to come forward to the next common council meeting.
Whether it's the 16th or the 23rd?
Correct.
Mark ran the last time we did it, so.
Move on to item H1, page 189, vouchers and payroll. Sarah.
Oh.
Is there a motion to approve the city vouchers on ending date of July 1, 2019, the amount of $886,349.36, and payroll date of June 21, the amount of $397,236.95, and payrolls, payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $414,275.95, plus the matching payments, and payroll estimated for July 5th at the amount of $388,000 in payments, various payroll deductions estimated $217,000, plus the matching payments and property tax settlements ending date of June 28th at the amount of $13,527.77, and release of payment of night varying amount of $725,580.92.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Aye.
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 Motion carries. 6 ayes, 1 noes, no absent, no abstentions, miscellaneous licenses, all in the table.
Okay, so remember July 12th is the grand opening for Wheel and Sprockets, so that was approved. Next two are approved with a letter. Rita Heishman approved. Then Rounding Third Pizza approved pending inspections. They're also behind on personal property taxes and delinquent with WDFI, so they need to be caught up on that before it's approved. So that's pending. Quick Trip and Franklin Police Department National Night both approve. Then hold for appearance for Conley. Hold for appearance for Waraxa. And all the rest are approved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we go on the agenda, July 12th at Routine Field will be an event with Franklin Education Foundation. I intend that all of you, Andrew, if you can, and then whoever else.
What day is that?
Sunday the 12th, proclamation honoring baseball coach.
12th isn't a Sunday.
Well, it was a Friday.
It is July 15th, sorry. July 14th, sorry, 14th.
Oh, okay.
Huh? Okay, so all those in favor of adjourn?
So moved. A motion adjourned.
Second.
Motion adjourned.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.